Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Monster Mate by Isabel Jordan. Narrated by Mia Madison. Chapter 1. He was going to force her to break his arm. That wasn't hyperbole either. She'd do it. After all, it wouldn't be the first time. Roxy Rowe set her tray of champagne flutes on the bar to keep from spilling them as her boss made another not-so-subtle grab for her ass. She bared her teeth at the bastard and snarled, "The next time you touch me, you'll lose a fucking hand." The gargoyle snorted. That wasn't hyperbole either. He really was a gargoyle. Here in Sanity Falls, monsters were welcome. Even assholes like Carl, the walking sexual harassment lawsuit.
"Oh, don't be so sensitive. You should lighten up and smile more, Rox," Carl said, reaching down to adjust his dick in his trousers, not even trying to be discreet.
That did it. She was never working another bartending gig at a Monster Match speed dating event. See, the thing no one ever mentioned about monsters was how horny they were. It seemed like half the creatures who showed up at one of these events hadn't gotten laid in eons, literal eons for some of them, and if none of the human women who'd signed up to date a monster wanted them, they were perfectly happy to hit on the waitstaff. So far tonight, she'd been grabbed by a gargoyle, propositioned by a pseudo-dragon, and flashed by a falcon. Roxy shuddered. She'd probably have nightmares for the rest of her life about that last one. But she decided to set her emotional trauma aside for the moment, because it was time to quit yet another dead-end job. It didn't matter that her rent was due. It didn't matter that her car was running on fumes. It didn't matter that she had less than $30 in her bank account, no food in her fridge, and two dependents waiting on her at home. She'd get a new job. If there was one thing she'd learned over her 32 years on this crap-hole planet, it was that you couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a dozen crappy minimum-wage jobs. So, with as much dramatic flourish as she could muster, she whipped off her apron, tossed it in Carl's fat face, and said, "I fucking quit." Then she gave him her biggest, craziest, feral smile. He had suggested she smile more after all, and flipped him the bird while he angrily sputtered and threatened to withhold her paycheck for the night. She snorted. Right. Like he was ever going to pay her after she threatened him. That paycheck was long gone. The one thing she'd miss from these events was the venue. The Spellman Manor looked like the set of a Jane Austen novel movie adaptation, and not a cheap one, like a high-end adaptation on Netflix, not some CW network crapfest. There was probably a picture of this manor next to the word dramatic in the dictionary. Other than the parlor, where the speed dating event was being held, Roxy had only seen the kitchen, which looked like Gordon Ramsay had personally selected every utensil and appliance, and powder room, which had a richly colored, patterned wallpaper that probably cost more than her car. But it was more than enough for her to fall in love with the place. She'd live and die in that powder room if the owners would let her. Psst! At first, Roxy didn't think too much of the sound coming from the nook under the grand staircase. There were at least a dozen half-snake monsters in attendance tonight, but when it was accompanied by a tiny hand, a human hand, peeking out of the shadows and gesturing to her, she couldn't ignore it any longer. Cautiously, she inched toward the nook, but relaxed when a short woman with pale green eyes and a mass of ginger-speckled dark curls stepped out. This person wasn't a threat to her. Roxy wasn't proud of the fact that she tended to size people up and evaluate them at a glance based on whether she could take them in a fight. But she did. Foster care and her recent dating history made sure of that. "Hi, I'm Lucy. My husband owns this place." A growl that raised the hair on the back of Roxy's neck crawled out of the shadows. Lucy rolled her eyes. My husband and I own this place, she corrected. Okay, so maybe Lucy wasn't harmless after all. Clearly she was married to an angry bear. Great. I'm Roxy. Nice place you have here. Lucy sighed dreamily. Yeah, it's awesome. But I didn't call you over here to brag. I saw what was going on at the bar. Ugh. Now she was probably going to get sued or something for wrecking their event. I apologize for not finishing the night. I hope your guests will understand. Oh, honey, no. We're not mad. We're impressed you didn't hit him. Lucy laughed and dug a wad of cash out of her skirt pocket. I figured he was going to stiff you, so I emptied the tip jar when he wasn't looking, and I'll make sure the rest of the staff gets tipped out of that asshat's salary. He'll never work here again, I promise you. Wow. Roxy took the cash and stuffed it into her pocket, fighting the urge to sniffle. Unexpected kindness from strangers always got her a little misty. Thank you so much. This will really help me. I appreciate it. She shrugged. No big deal. You earned it. Then she pulled out a business card and handed that over. That's my husband's card. Call his office when you're ready to start looking for another job. Victor Adamovich. Jesus. The beast of Spellman Manor and his wife? Why she hadn't put that all together before now was a mystery. We're going to help her get a new job? What kind of weird fever dream was she having? Again, thank you so much. I'm not sure what else to say. Especially since she'd started this conversation by evaluating whether she could take Lucy in a fight. Lucy giggled when a giant hand shot out of the darkness of the nook and dragged her back inside. Bye, Roxy. It was nice meeting you. Yeah, you too. She was still reeling from the high of meeting nice people who did nice things for her, rather than shitting all over her, when she made it to the parking lot across the street from the mansion. That's when someone restored her total lack of faith in humanity, or monsterdom, or whatever. Roxy swallowed a startled shriek when a giant, beefy arm clamped around her throat and yanked her back against a rock-hard chest.
Hello there, little human, he whispered in her ear, his hot breath fanning across her cheek. I think you and I are going to have some fun tonight.
Clearly, his definition of fun and hers were very different. She slid her hand up and wedged it between his arm and her throat to give herself a little breathing room. I'm going to give you a chance to walk away, asshole. She said as calmly as possible. Trust me, you do not want to fuck with me, not after the night I've had. He chuckled.
Oh, trust me, I very much want to fuck with you.
She would have sighed in exasperation if he wasn't holding her so tight. She'd been so polite to him, had even offered him a chance to walk away unharmed. This was why being polite was totally overrated. It was a lesson she'd learned long, long ago. When she was 6, her teacher told her the bullies who picked on her for wearing thrift store clothes and living in a group home would leave her alone if she ignored them. The woman who'd hired her to tend bar at the gentlemen's club when she was 20 told her to smile and indulge the patrons who tried to grab her, even the one who slapped her when she refused to blow him on her break, and that no men of their caliber would ever do anything to really harm her. She'd heard many times that if threatened with a weapon, she should submit. They were all liars. Fucking liars. Bullies never stopped. Smiling at a man and politely telling him you weren't interested didn't always stop him from following you home and trying to assault you. Boys will be boys was a load of complete and utter horse shit. And she'd be damned if she was ever going to submit to anyone who threatened her. Roxy Rowe was no one's victim. Not anymore, anyway. She hoped he realized everything that was about to happen was his fault. Before he could make another move, Roxy let her body go limp. That was something attackers usually weren't ready for. Jerks like this one were used to overpowering women and dragging them to isolated locations or vehicles, but they were rarely ever prepared to carry dead weight. Her friendly neighborhood attacker had no choice but to let her go when she dropped to the ground like a stone. While she was there, she scuttled back far enough to shift, twist, and deliver a punch to his balls that held every bit of the frustration she'd kept inside all night. With a wail, he hit the ground next to her, cradling his bruised balls.
"You bitch!"
Roxy leapt up and turned around, just out of his reach, to get her first good look at the guy who'd fucked around and found out she was not to be messed with. She recognized the guy. He wasn't at the monster match as a dater, but he'd been parking cars for the event. He was probably 5'10 or 5'11, not huge, but still taller than her, and he weighed close to 225 if she hadn't missed her guess. His skin was a mossy, grayish-green color that reminded Roxy of scum on a stagnant pond. The jet-black mullet he sported was impressive. Not in a good way, but rather in a, "I can't believe someone was brave enough to do that outside an 80s music video" kind of way. An orc, she decided, based on the large, boar-like tusks popping up from underneath his bottom lip. She'd seen a few attractive orcs around town. This orc was not one of them. And he was wearing a name tag that said, "Hi, I'm Guy." The idiot hadn't even bothered to take off his name tag before assaulting someone. See, this was how people ended up on shows about dumb criminals. She shook her head. "Well, Guy, I'm guessing this isn't your first foray into attacking unsuspecting women, is it?"
"Fuck you,"
he snarled, still clutching his balls. I think we already established that's not happening. What I want to know now is how many other women you've hurt." If possible, his ugly face got even uglier.
"What does it matter? You human women don't mean anything,"
he spat at her.
"Monsters are stronger and better than you in every way. Why shouldn't we take whatever we want, whenever we want it?"
Here's where she had a decision to make. Every self-defense instructor she'd ever had, and she'd had a lot of them, told her to run once her attacker was on the ground. She'd already ignored that advice by questioning him. She supposed she could call the police. Of course, with him on the ground and her standing here unharmed, that tactic might not end well for her. Or she could pepper spray him for fun. She had a canister in her pocket. But before she could make up her mind, the decision was taken out of her hands. Permanently. That wasn't hyperbole either. Something had literally stopped her from doing anything to her would-be attacker. It was a giant red hand, so huge the fingers could wrap around her wrist at least twice, with 2-inch-long, pitch-black talons straight out of a dystopian nightmare.
Another fucking monster. Just hell.
What an absolute clusterfuck of a night she was having. Chapter 2.
His mate was magnificent. Riordan Merrick hadn't known much happiness in his long, long life. His people weren't known for joy. They were hard people who lived hard lives. He'd always hoped, though, hoped for a life full of love and simple pleasures. With one look at the stunning, fierce, black-haired beauty who'd just crossed his path, guided by fate, no doubt, he knew his dreams were finally being realized. He'd crossed time and dimensions to escape his dying realm and find a mate. Everyone left on his side of the veil between the human world and the demon world had called him a fool. Why would the fragile, delicate-looking human females want to mate with hulking, soul-reaping demons from a hell dimension? But Roxy Rowe was proof he'd been right all along.
The only thing he'd been wrong about was the monster match event. It had seemed like the perfect place to find a mate. Where else would he find a room full of human women who were actively seeking monster husbands? But none of the women he'd met were right for him. They were all lovely and pleasant enough, but he'd know his mate when he saw her, and none of the women he dated that evening were meant to be his. Then he heard a heavenly voice telling a gargoyle he'd lose a fucking hand if he touched her again, and he knew. This was the woman the gods meant for him to find all along. She was tall for a human woman, probably 5'9", with long, slender legs and a lean, athletic build. She wasn't especially curvy, but the black button-down shirt and straight-leg black trousers she was wearing hugged the curves she did have in a very flattering way. Roxy looked strong and healthy, with espresso-colored eyes and a smooth complexion that spoke of plenty of time spent outdoors, soaking up the sun. He could easily imagine her hiking the lush green paths that circled the mountains around Sanity Falls and enjoying the fresh, clean air, and he could just as easily imagine himself at her side, enjoying her. He wanted to learn everything about her, her past, her hopes, her dreams, her likes and dislikes. He wanted to know it all. If it took him a lifetime to learn all her secrets, he'd never complain. What a strange feeling this was, to be so enamored of a total stranger. It wasn't love. Obviously, he had to get to know her before that could develop. But there was a strange kind of connection between them that was wonderful and terrifying and absolutely surreal all at the same time. In that moment, he wanted nothing more than to grab her, toss her over his shoulder, and get her out of there before any other monsters could lay eyes on her. Just the thought of them thinking they had a chance with his mate made him want to rip their hearts out and offer them to his new human queen as a sign of his devotion. But he didn't want to frighten her. She was working at this event, serving drinks and food. She wasn't there to find a monster husband, let alone a soulmate. And she hadn't glanced in his direction once. He wasn't even sure if human women believed in fated mates or ever experienced the kind of bone-deep longing he was currently feeling. He couldn't risk ruining his chance with her by frightening her. So he watched. He watched her fiery rage when she quit her job and left the gargoyle scrambling to finish the drink service alone. He watched her smile warmly and speak with the other human woman, the one that was married to the strangest monster Riordan had ever seen. And that was saying something, because he'd seen just about every type of monster imaginable. He watched the moonlight dancing across her delicate features and thick wavy hair as she crossed the parking lot to her vehicle. He watched as an orc grabbed her from behind and wrapped his arm around her slender throat. Mine. That was the last thing he saw before rage overtook him, and his vision went red. Blood red. Chapter 3. The giant monster was facing away from her as he reached down, snagged the orc off the ground by his throat, and tossed him so hard and so far into the air that Roxy lost sight of him. She waited for the bastard's body to drop, and waited, and waited, and waited. But it never did. Jesus, how strong was he? Her self-defense skills were top tier, but something told her the odds weren't in her favor if she had to fight this dude. She wanted to run, but her feet weren't cooperating. Roxy shoved a hand in her pocket and wrapped her fingers around the pepper spray canister as she began backing away slowly, eyes glued to the gothic nightmare of a monster in front of her. That's when he turned around, and she stopped dead in her tracks. She'd never seen anything scarier in her life, or more beautiful. There weren't too many men, monster or human, who made her feel delicate and dainty, but the monster who'd just yeeted her attacker to the moon, presumably, accomplished that with many, many inches to spare. He had to be over 6'9", and probably outweighed her by 100 pounds, which would make him somewhere around 280. His violently red skin was stretched over giant slabs of lean muscle, but weirdly, Roxy found herself wondering if it was as soft as it looked. Not that she was going to touch him. That'd be stupid. But she'd be lying if she said she wasn't intrigued. He apparently wasn't shy, either. He was half-naked and didn't seem inclined to cover up. The pants he was wearing looked to be made of soft, supple leather, molded to his thick thighs and impressive... She gave herself a sharp mental slap across the face. Do not admire the monster's package. But the pants were all he was wearing. His giant, muscly chest was completely bare, and other than the red skin, it was a very human-looking chest. She forced herself to glance up, and up, and up, and up, to see his face. The bastard was handsome. Not enough that she wouldn't pepper spray him if he tried anything funny, but handsome nonetheless. He had the kind of square-jawed, pouty-lipped, messy, dark-haired good looks and scalpel-sharp cheekbones that would give a supermodel an inferiority complex. But it was his eyes that really did a number on Roxy. They were gold, shiny, eerie, stunningly gorgeous gold. His eyes were beautiful enough that she almost missed the horns. Yep, horns. Two of them. Giant, hooked black horns sprouted from his forehead and curled over the back of his skull. Then she caught movement behind him and let out a little gasp. Was that a tail? Yep, again. That was for sure a 4-foot-long tail with a spade-shaped spike at the end. She thought she'd seen every type of monster in Sanity Falls. She'd been wrong. He raised his hands in the universal don't pepper spray me gesture.
Are you unharmed, Roxy Rowe?
First of all, how the hell did he know her name? And second of all, phew, that was some voice he had. Deep and grumbly and growly. He could narrate audiobooks and make a fortune. Which was so not the point. Focus, Roxy. She took a step back and turned her body to the side, making herself a smaller target. How do you know my name? His thick black brows lowered a fraction.
I was at the monster match. I heard you introduce yourself to the other human woman, the one married to...
He seemed at a loss for words. Roxy understood. Lucy's husband really was hard to describe. Who are you?
I am Riordan Merrick.
He sketched a little bow. The old-timey gesture almost brought a smile to her lips.
I am at your service.
The idea of having all that at her service made her a little lightheaded. It had been a long time since anyone had... serviced her? She swallowed hard. What did you do to that orc? He huffed out an exasperated sound and shoved a taloned hand through his longish hair.
Unfortunately, I could not reap his soul as I would have liked, but I was able to toss him through the veil into another dimension I'm familiar with. He chuckled. The three-headed feral hogs will feast on his bones tonight.
Well, there was a lot to unpack in that statement. She decided to pass on all the soul-reaping, dimension-hopping, veil-piercing, three-headed pig questions she had, and stuck with, so he's dead?
Oh, yes, very much so. He will not trouble you or any other woman ever again.
Roxy's mouth went dry. She supposed she should feel a certain way about Riordan killing someone on her behalf. She wasn't sure what would be a normal feeling in this instance, though. Maybe a good person would be sad at the loss of any life. But Guy was a misogynist and a rapist. Who knows how many other women he'd hurt or even killed? Ultimately, she decided she was glad the orc was dead, which, if she was being 100% honest, made her feel a little guilty that she didn't feel at all guilty about being involved in his death. Jeez, maybe she really was the shitty, cold-hearted bitch her ex assured her she was. Thank you. He took a step forward, forcing her to take a quick step back. I would do anything for you, Roxy Rowe. Okay, this was getting weirder and weirder by the minute. It's just Roxy, and you don't even know me. I will know you in time, he said, sounding way more reasonable than he had any right to. You are my fated mate. Wow, she just really couldn't catch a break tonight. This bastard was every bit as crazy as the last. I'm no one's fated anything, pal. He smiled at her, showing off a set of straight white teeth and really pointy canines that made her nervous. Of course you are. You'll see in time. That's when he made the mistake of reaching for her. As soon as his giant warm hand touched her upper arm, Roxy did what she should have done the moment she laid eyes on him. She pepper sprayed him. Chapter 4. Riordan had anticipated a few possible reactions from his mate. Her using a weapon on him was unexpected. And refreshing, frankly. Not the pepper spray. That was unpleasant. But the fight she had inside her, the fire, that was every bit as enticing as her lovely face and melodic voice. He decided to put thoughts of her loveliness aside for the moment, mostly because she was currently running from him in the direction of her car. Riordan dematerialized, then rematerialized in front of her, holding his hands up in supplication when she shrieked and fell into a fighting stance. I'm sorry. I've alarmed you. That was not my intent. Her eyes darted to the left and right. He wasn't sure if she was looking for help or a better weapon to hit him with. Based on what he knew of his mate so far, he'd guess the latter. You told me I'd see in time that I'm your mate, she said through her clenched jaw. That implies I wouldn't have a choice in the matter. So yeah, that makes me feel a little alarmed. Her words hit him in the center of his chest like a punch. He raised his hands a little higher. Of course you have a choice. I never meant to imply otherwise. I understand your people might not experience the same mating instinct mine do. A flush of color rose to her cheeks, and he wondered what that meant. Was it the thought of mating with him that heightened her color? Or was she still afraid? The thought of her fearing him was like a splash of ice-cold water to his libido. Truly, my queen, he said, his voice dipping even lower than usual with emotion, I would never harm you. She snorted. I've heard that one before. Riordan had to swallow the rage that bubbled up inside him at the thought of someone, anyone, hurting his Roxy. She'd only so far seen a glimpse of what he could do. He couldn't let her see more. Not yet, anyway. Because if she knew what he was capable of doing, she'd never willingly come near him again. I'd rather die than hurt you. Her smooth brow furrowed as she took in his words, his sincerity. Her fighting stance relaxed a bit, but only a bit, and Riordan felt like he'd won a battle. She didn't seem to trust easily, if at all, and she was at least starting to want to trust him. He'd take that victory. What makes you think I'm your mate? She asked. Maybe it's actually one of the other women in there, and you got confused or something. That made him smile. There's not another soul in there, or anywhere else, that compares to you. I heard your voice, and every fiber of my being said, this one. I have no doubt. But you said I have a choice. What if I don't want to be the one for you?
Then I'll die, miserable and alone, a broken shell of the man I once was. Then I will leave you.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?